Hello, everybody. This is Tom Howard bidding you welcome to It Pays to Be Ignorant for STANEET. Stay neat, the family barber. What? What is a love seat?
A couple of chairs in search of a balcony.
Pay the man $8. What is the most dangerous part of an automobile?
The nut that holds the wheel, the steering wheel.
Pay the man $9 because...
It pays to be ignorant, to be dumb, to be dense, to be ignorant.
And now, folks, it's time to meet your quizmaster, and here he is, the star of our show, Mr. Tom Howard.
Thank you, Ken Roberts. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? Another week and another session of that crazy quiz program, It Pays to Be Ignorant. We have a board of experts who are so dumb they think a babysitter sits on babies. First, we have the celebrated author, Mr. Harry McNaughton, who has just written a book entitled Rush Hour in the Subway or The Charge of the Fight Brigade. But here he is, Mr. Harry McNaughton.
Thank you. I have a poem, Mr. Howard.
I expect it.
Yes. I wish I were an ostrich egg high up in a tree, and whenever you'd go walking by, I'd spatter you with me.
Nice. Kind of messy, ain't it?
Some yolk, eh?
Yeah, some yolk, yeah.
Covers everything.
All right. Next, we have a woman who is trying to get that new look, but she has too many old parts. A woman who would be beautiful if it wasn't for a slight blemish between her ears. Miss Lulu McConnell.
Mr. Howard, did I tell you? Last Wednesday night, my old man took me dancing on the Astor roof.
That's nice. Did you have a good time at the Astor roof?
No. The clothesline kept knocking my hat off.
Unfortunate.
All right. Next, we have a man who, at the age of 12, was 3 years old. A man who has been... A man who has been up the river so much, the salmon wave at him. Here he is, Mr. George Shelton.
Didn't I tell you I got held up last night?
You got held up?
Yeah.
Did you call for help?
I tried to, but the crook said, if you don't keep quiet, I'll call a cop.
And did you keep quiet?
Sure, it's bad enough being held up. I didn't want to get pinched, too.
All right. Well, folks, those are the experts, two pumpkin heads and a witch. So we'll get on. On with the first question. Here it is. Let's try and get an answer.
Yes,
it's a very timely question, so let's concentrate.
Yes.
Can you name a president of the United States who started life as a baby?
Mr. Howard, would you mind repeating the question?
Name a president of the United States who started life as a baby.
Do we have to get two out of three?
Two out of three what?
Two out of three questions.
You mean he's asking us three questions?
Wait a minute.
One question at a time.
Look.
Three questions is hard enough without throwing three at once.
All right.
What do you think we are? Intersectionalism?
No.
What do you think? We know something?
All right.
Yeah. What do you think we are? The quiz kids?
Will you cut it out? Miss McConnell, no one would ever mistake you for a kid.
No, but someone's liable to mistake you for an old goat.
I thank you.
I'm not so old.
No.
I have the face of a 20-year-old girl.
Yeah, well, you better give it back to her. You're getting it all wrinkled. Let's get back to the question.
Yes.
It's not a hard question. It just requires a little horse sense.
I know, but where are we going to get a little horse?
I said horse sense. Don't you know what horse sense is?
Sure, horse sense is what keeps horses from betting on people.
I see.
Yes.
What president of the United States started life as a baby?
Do you mean we had a baby president? Oh, isn't that cute?
Yeah.
I always wish me and my old man had a little one.
Yeah.
One that looked half like him and half like me.
Yeah.
Good heavens, a cocker spaniel.
Try and answer the question.
I remember when I was a baby, they used to call me Pinky.
I see. You can talk plainer than that. Now let's get on. The question is not about babies.
Oh, say, I got that last
All right, never mind.
When I was born, I only weighed 4 pounds.
Just goes to show what inflation will do.
You know, when I was a little boy, I ran away from home. My parents couldn't find me.
They couldn't find you? Mm. Why?
They didn't look for me.
Well, I never ran away from home. My home ran away from me.
All right, let's get... Your home ran away from you.
Yeah, we lived in a trailer and I fell out.
I see.
Interesting.
You didn't fall, you were pushed. Now let's get on here. What president of the United States started life as a baby?
Well, I come from a very poor family.
Yeah.
They were too poor to have children.
I see.
So a neighbor had me instead.
A neighbor had me. The neighbor should have kept you.
You know, those were the good old days, the days of my childhood. I remember when I was only a year old, my parents took a picture of me.
Did they keep on taking pictures of you every year as you grew up?
Oh, no, no. Every year they just had the first picture enlarged, you see?
Yeah.
Enlarged. It's now 10 feet high.
Yeah,
I'm wearing the oddest-looking pants.
Yeah.
Sort of a three-cornered ensemble.
I see.
With a fraternity pin in front.
All right, please. Will you stick to the question?
Well, I read the paper where a lady had a baby. And it could talk when it was 3 months old.
That's nothing. I cursed the day I was born.
You... you cursed the day you were born. So did I. Let's get on here.
Well, my brother-in-law's wife just presented him with a baby boy today.
Oh, really? Where is it?
Why, it's in the hospital.
My word, is it sick already?
Oh, please, what president of the United States started life as a baby?
Was he a Democrat or a Republican?
That don't make any difference.
It does for Mr. Truman.
All right.
It's a point about presidents, Mr. Howard. Oh. Did you know that President Truman was introduced to Dewey's son today?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
What did Dewey... what did Mr. Truman say?
Oh, your father's must...
All right.
Well, speaking about babies, my sister's got the cutest baby boy. I think he's going to be an auctioneer when he grows up.
What makes you think he's going to be an auctioneer?
Well, when I was over to the house today, he put his father's watch under the hammer.
I see.
That's killing time, I guess.
Killing time. Well, this whole thing is a waste of time, so Ken, will you come in here, please, and get rid of the whole thing while I look around for a place to lay down?
I certainly will do that, Mr. Howard. Tom Howard and the Experts will be back in a minute to interview our first guest.
It pays to be smart about haircuts. Do you know that Stay Neat, the famous family barber, can save you from $50 to $100 a year? Yes, it's a fact. Stay Neat actually saves money and time. And here's why. Stay Neat costs only 98 cents. With a Stay Neat, you can cut, trim, shape, or thin your hair at home for less than 1 cent per haircut. And you still have your Stay Neat for many, many more haircuts. That's when Stay Neat really begins to save big money for you. Millions of people everywhere are using Stay Neat to beat the high cost of living. And ladies, with your next home permanent kit, get a Stay Neat to restyle your hair to your liking. With Stay Neat, there's no fuss, no waiting, no tipping. Ask for Stay Neat, S-T-A-N-E-E-T. It costs only 98 cents and it's sold everywhere. Stay Neat with Stay Neat. Now, back to Tom Howard and It Pays to Be Ignorant.
Our first guest.
We have a very nice gentleman coming to our microphone, Mr. Howard, a Mr. Roy Walters, and
Well, how do you do? How do you do, Mr. Walters? It's very nice having you with us. How are you feeling, sir?
Very well, thank you, Mr. Howard.
Well, we're very glad to hear that, Mr. Walters. Where are you from? Would you care to tell us?
I'm from Brooklyn, New York.
Brooklyn, good old Brooklyn, good.
Brooklyn, New York?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, stick a trumpet in my mouth and call me Foot
Man.
I used to work in that town.
All right.
Yeah, I was a sweater salesman for a political party.
I see.
You were a sweater salesman for a political party?
Yeah, I pulled the wool over people's eyes.
I see.
That's nice.
Wait. All right. I wish you'd pull a rope around your neck. Tell me, Mr. Walters, how do you happen to be in New York this evening?
Well, I edit a small radio monthly, and I've been writing up the show, and I've been quite anxious to see just how the crew goes about it.
Oh, well, that's swell. So you come over to look us over.
That's right.
I'm sorry you were disappointed. You say you work for a radio... You edit a radio magazine.
That's right.
What is the name of it, Mr. Moore?
The Turntable Times.
The Turntable Times. Well, that's a very cute name. It certainly is. How long have you been working on the magazine?
A little over 3 years now.
3 years. How's it going?
Oh, very well. We have a subscription that went from 6 to almost 100.
Well,
did I get my old man a job?
Well, you'll keep quiet. You're annoying, Mr. Walters. Yes.
Well, Mr. Walters is not annoying me.
All right. How long have you been in the publishing line, Mr. Walters?
Well, just about 3 years. That's
oh,
the only
3 years.
Line.
You said that. Mm-hmm. Fine.
You know, I've never worked in that line, you know, but I was a very good salesman once.
You were?
Rather. In fact, my boss said I was a Cracker Jack salesman.
You were?
Yeah.
What'd you sell?
Cracker Jack.
Will you please stop interviewing my interview? Are you married?
Certainly I'm married.
I'm not talking to you, I'm not.
Thank you. That's the best news I've heard today.
All right. Are you married, Mr. Walters?
No, I'm so happy, Mr. Howard.
You're not married until...
What did he say?
He said he wasn't married.
Move over, Mr. McClure. Make room for Mr. Walters.
Please.
Come over here, honey.
Will you cut it out, please?
How long have you been married, Mr. Walters?
Mr. Sheldon, the man said he wasn't married.
Oh, I wasn't listening.
Well, will you please pay a little attention?
I'm paying very little.
You certainly are. Mr. Walters, have you ever listened to this program at home?
Oh, many years.
Why? That's a very good question, Mr. Sheldon.
You see how I pay attention?
Oh, yeah, you do. When we don't want you to. Well, Mr. Walters, we certainly hope your magazine will continue to be very successful and you go a great long ways from here. And before you go, I might say...
Well, I'm glad you're here.
Yeah,
I'm only happy that he came, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm very glad.
Yes, he's very... Well, what's your first name, honey?
Roy.
What?
Roy.
Roy.
Oh, Roy.
Roy Walters.
A pretty name, isn't it, Roy?
Nice, Roy, yeah.
Oh, he's out. He's...
Yeah. All
right. Well, you can just call me presidential candidate.
Yes.
The crowd cheer me.
Yes. But your platform is too broad. Before you go, Mr. Walters, would you reach into the dunce cap there and pick out a question for us, please? And when you get the question, would you be good enough to read it, if you don't mind?
In a dice game, what are the small white cubes called?
Thank you. Gambling question. In a dice game, what are the small white cubes called? You know anything about dice, Mr. Sheldon?
Well, a little. Uh-huh. You should know a lot about dice, Mr. Howard.
I should. Why?
Well, you've got the bones for it.
I got the bones for it.
You're
so skinny.
Oh, that
is good.
Yeah, that was good.
Lovely. I enjoyed that.
Oh, yeah. Boy, that has added 20 years on my life.
It did?
Yes. Yeah,
that makes you 180. Let's get on.
Mr. Hart, speaking about dice, I had a lovely dinner tonight.
You had a lovely dinner?
Oh, delightful dinner. Diced carrots, diced potatoes, diced onions, and frankfurters without any meat in them.
Well, frankfurters without any meat?
They were hollow weenies.
Hollow weenies?
I'm incorrigible.
Please, can we get on?
Here? You know, Mr. Hart, we had a Halloween party at our house last night.
Yep.
We were going to play Spin the Bottle.
You were going to play Spin the Bottle?
Yep.
But why didn't you?
My old man hadn't finished it yet.
I was at a Halloween party the other night, and they gave a prize to the one who could make the funniest face.
Oh, really? That's nice. Who won?
I didn't. I wasn't even playing.
Let's get on here. The question's about dice. Have you ever played dice, any of you?
Yes, I have, Mr. Howard. Yes, I have.
You have?
Yes.
Well, what did you play with?
My wife. It was a great idea.
Yes.
Last week, I won half my salary back.
You won half your salary. That is a very... happy salary. What are you laughing at, please?
They were Halloweenies.
In fact, Mr. McCaulton, I'm surprised to hear you are a gambler. You have an honest face.
I have?
Yes.
I must remember to give it back to the man I got it from.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. What's the matter with a gambler? My father was a gambler.
He was.
Did he start from the bottom?
He sure did. And that was the way he dealt, too.
Yeah, I imagine. And you were his first missed deal. Now, let's get on there. I must remind you, the question's not about cards. It's about dice. Did you ever shoot dice, Miss McCullough?
Certainly not. Why should I? Uh-huh. They've got as much right to live as we have. I know.
That's right. That's absolutely right, Mrs. Yeah. McConnell. I admire you, Miss McConnell. You have a beautiful soul.
Yeah, and a heel to match. Yeah.
Leave my old man out.
All right. Let's get back to the question.
Okay, shoot, Miss McConnell. It's your role.
Is she faded?
She's been faded for years.
Speaking of gambling, you know, I had a dream last night. I dreamt I was pitching tennis.
You got to...
I tossed all night.
Uh-oh, that's terrible.
That's odd. I had a strange dream last night myself. I dreamt that they were auctioning off mouths.
Auctioning off mouths?
Yeah, there was Betty Grable's mouth, Leonard Turner's mouth, Rita Hayworth's mouth.
Was my mouth there?
That's where they were holding the auction. Let's get back to the questions about dice.
My old man says he's going out and shoot dice tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, I hope he don't. I hope he don't get any at all.
No.
I wouldn't know how to cook them.
All right. You don't know how to cook them.
I was shooting dice the other night, and 9 was my point.
It was.
9. Did you make it?
I made it the hard way. 3 threes.
3 threes.
Oh, that's nice. I know a poem about 3 trees.
3 trees?
My scene is a woodland glade.
Look.
And the center is a beautiful bumping spring.
Yes.
Surrounded by 3 trees.
Yeah, look.
There, look. There, and there.
Get me out of the wilderness and give our good friend $24.60 for helping us out.
I certainly will do that, Mr. Howard. Here
Thank you
are.
Thank you very much.
Tom Howard will be back in a minute with our second guest. Ladies, are you interested in saving from $50 to $100 of the family budget? Then get a Stay Neat, the modern family barber. Stay Neat will help you keep your husband's hair looking neat and well-groomed all the time. Use it on your children's hair, too. It's perfect even for a tiny baby's hair. And for you ladies, Stay Neat cuts, trims, thins, and shapes your hair exactly the way you want it. In fact, ladies, you'll never need a razor either after you get your Stay Neat. No fuss, no bother. Just turn the magic knob, and after a few strokes, you'll realize why millions of men, women, and children prefer Stay Neat. Get Stay Neat and give yourself the latest hairstyle. Try it the next time you give yourself a home permanent. Stay Neat costs only 98 cents. It pays for itself the very first time you use it. Buy a Stay Neat today. It's sold everywhere. Stay Neat with Stay Neat. Now here again is Tom Howard, and it pays to be ignorant.
And now, Ken, who is our next guest?
Well, Tom, we have a very charming lady I know you'll be very happy to meet.
Well, I'm sure I will, Ken, so while you're escorting the young lady to the mic, let's listen to the Townsend Quartet as they sing a Tom Howard Jr. arrangement of a college medley.
Duke, we thy and the praise for all the praises unfold. We'll sing for the blue and white, whose colors we unfold. Firm stands her line of blue, for they are loyal through and through. Fighting with the spirit true, for the love of ODU. Hail, men of Fordham, hail, on to the fray. Once more our foes assail, in strong array. Maroon, wave on high, we'll sing our battle song, we'll do or die. Oh, grim, gray palisades, thy shadows upon the rippling Hudson fall, and mellow mingled tints of sunset illumine now our classic hall. While students gather round thine altars with tributes of devotion true, and mingled merry hearts voices in praise of New York, you will light.
to you, Illinois. We're orange and blue, Illinois. We'll back you to stand against the best in the land.
For we know you have sand, Illinois. Rah, rah! So crack out that ball, Illinois.
We're backing you all, Illinois. Our team is our famed protector on boys, for we expect a victory from you, Illinois. We know our team will win victory, so fight on, Illinois.
Thank you. Thank you, fellas. That was really fine. Incidentally, folks, every college song used in the medley represents each college of each member of the quartet.
They didn't mention my college in it.
What college is yours?
The prisoner song from Leavenworth.
All right. And now, Ken, who is that charming lady you spoke about?
Well, here she is now, Mr. Howard, and I know you'll agree with me that she's charming when you meet Miss Margot Winnick.
Well, well. How do you do? How do you do, Mrs. Winnick? It is really a pleasure to have you with us. Where are you from? Would you care to tell us?
London, England.
London, England. Well, welcome. Welcome to America. You know, that is quite a coincidence, Ken. You know, we had a lady from England last week on a program, remember?
That's right, Mr. Howard. It was Daphne somebody.
Yes, and Mr. Dell. Well, it certainly is a pleasure to have you with us.
Oh, it is a pleasure. How do you do, Mrs. Winnick? How do you do? Will you have a cup of tea and a muffin?
Please. Mr. McNaughton, you said that last week.
So what? Can't we have another cup of tea this week?
All right.
Are we only allowed one cup of tea a week?
Well, you cut it out.
Anyway, I haven't got any tea balls.
No? What the? What?
Come on. All right.
He begs.
You ruined it. Let it right there. Will you keep quiet?
I'm not going to say a word.
Neither would I.
On advice of counsel.
Exactly. Tell me, Mrs. Winnick. She was supposed to say tea bags, folks. Let's get on there. Tell me, Mrs. Winnick, how long have you been in America?
Oh, just a week and a time.
You've only been in America a week?
Yes.
Well, marvelous. Are you having a good time?
Oh, wonderful time.
Good. Yes. Did you have a nice trip over?
Wonderful.
What boat did you come over on?
In the Queen Elizabeth.
Oh, the Queen Elizabeth.
Yes. Oh, really? You know, that's nice. You know, it reminds me of my last trip on the Elizabeth. I was walking along the deck, and a young lady standing at the rail said to me, "Come over to the rail, young man. I'd like to talk to you."
Yeah? What did you say?
I said, "Madam, when I go over to the rail, I'm in no mood for conversation."
You didn't have to bring that up, Mr. McNaughton. Let's get on. Tell me, Mrs. Winnick, are you married?
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. Is your husband with you?
No.
He's not with you.
Will you have a cup of tea, Mrs. Winnick?
All right. Mrs. Winnick, what does your husband do in England?
Oh, he's an orchestra leader.
He's an orchestra leader in England. Isn't that great? Where does he play in England?
He plays at Ciro's Club.
And Ciro's? Isn't that marvelous? That is really swell.
That's a coincidence, you know. I play musical instruments.
You do?
Oh, rather. I play the trumpet, violin, saxophone, and trombone.
Uh-huh. I see. Have you got a fife?
I've got a fife and three kids.
I see. We'd love to spend more time with you, and I don't want to keep you standing there bored, only to say that when you go back to England, when are you going back?
Oh, in 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh, in 2 or 3 weeks. Yes. Give our regards to Mr. Winnick, won't you?
Yes, sir.
And we've been very happy to have you. Before you go, would you reach into the dunce cap there and pick out a question for us, if you don't mind? And would you kindly read the question for us, please? Just take your time, Mrs. Winnick.
In Daniel Defoe's book, Robinson Crusoe, what was the name of the leading character in the story?
Thank you, Mrs. Winnick. In Daniel Defoe's book, Robinson Crusoe, what was the name of the leading character in the story?
What story?
The story of Robinson Crusoe. Did you ever hear the story, Miss McConnell?
No, I didn't. Let's hear it. I'll bring it on the Brit Club next Tuesday.
All right. It's not that kind of a story. Why, any schoolboy knows the story.
Well, let's send out and get a schoolboy, then.
All right. Mr. Sheldon, didn't you ever go to school?
No, I started writing in college.
Yes.
Why bother with the middleman?
I see.
Why, I was the head of my fraternity.
Yeah, I see. A frat head. Let's get on here. Listen, you three blank diplomas, Robinson Crusoe, at the age of 18, ran away from home. He went to sea, was shipwrecked on a barren island. No one lived on the island but cannibals.
My word, he must have gotten himself in a stew.
Yeah, very clever. One day while Robinson Crusoe was wandering around the island, he saw smoke.
The island must have been on fire.
Oh, please.
It must have been Fire Island.
Well, you cut it out. The smoke was coming over the top of the hill, so he climbed the hill, and what do you think he saw?
The other side of the hill.
The other side. He saw fire. And what do you think was dancing around the fire?
Mosquitoes.
No. No, cannibals.
Oh, they bite worse than mosquitoes.
They were dancing around the fire, and in the middle of them was a man. It was Friday.
Who was the man, Mr. Howard?
I said it was Friday.
I don't care what day it was. Who was the man?
Miss McConnell, you're acting like a fool.
That's better than starving.
All right.
Why don't you tell us who the man was?
What do you mean, tell you who the man was? I told you Friday.
You didn't tell me Friday.
No.
I didn't see you Friday.
All right. Look, when I say Friday, I don't mean Friday.
Well, what do you mean, Mr. Howard?
I mean Friday.
Are you nuts?
I think I am.
Are you sure you're feeling all right, Mr. Howard?
Look, the cannibals were dancing around Friday.
Oh, don't you see, Mr. Shelton? The cannibals were dancing on Friday.
They weren't dancing on Friday. They were dancing around Friday.
Oh, it was around Friday.
Yeah.
And you're not sure what day it was.
Maybe it was Thursday.
Well,
makes no difference
out.
What day it was.
What?
Makes no difference what day it was. Who was the man? Maybe I know him.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised, Mr. Connor. The cannibals were dancing around Friday. They were getting ready to eat them.
Eat who?
They were going to eat Friday.
Oh, they only eat Friday?
Look.
Can I ask a question, Mr. Howard?
Go right ahead.
Who was the man?
Ken, come in here and give our charming guest $25.40 for helping us out and thank her for being with us.
I certainly will, Mr. Howard. Tom Howard will be back in a minute.
It's no wonder over 3 million people are using Stay Neat today. Listen to what Mr. Addison N. Berkeley of Seattle, Washington writes us about Stay Neat. Quote, I'm sold on Stay Neat. I have the type of hair that grows thick and fast, so I'm saving money with Stay Neat. I've never written to any company about their product, but I just couldn't resist thanking you for Stay Neat. It's perfect. Unquote. And thank you, Mr. Berkeley. You're right. Stay Neat is perfect for cutting, thinning, trimming, and shaping hair with professional neatness. Stay Neat costs only 98 cents and pays for itself the very first time you use it. So friends, buy a Stay Neat today. It's sold everywhere. Stay Neat with Stay Neat. And now, here again is Tom Howard.
Now, folks, here's...
Mr. Howard, who is the man?
Will you cut it out? And now, folks, here's where we listen to our ignorant baritone with a voice that scares little children to tell you what we mean when we say...
It's time to be ignorant, from to be dense, to be ignorant. It's time...
Well, folks, Mrs. Mullaney tells us our time is up, so we'll have to be getting along. But we'll be back with you next week, same time, same place on your dial. And don't forget, folks, regardless of who your man is, be sure and vote on Tuesday.
Who is the man?
Will you cut it out? So now, this is Tom Howard saying goodbye and good nonsense.
Ken Roberts speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Stay tuned for Hometown Reunion on WCBS AM and FM New York.